Now, from Hollywood, romance. Today, by special arrangement with the distinguished British author James Hilton, we bring you a classic romance of modern literature. With William Conrad in the role of Conway, we are privileged to present James Hilton's haunting story of adventure, beauty, and vision, Lost Horizon. Now deep in the mountains of Tibet, the highest part of the Earth's surface. That snow-capped peak above you is Karakol, and below, in the valley of the Blue Moon, lies the Lamasery of Shangri-La. It was a strange and incredible sight, a group of colored pavilions clinging to the mountainside like flower petals impaled upon a crag. Overhead, a dazzling pyramid of snow, beautiful, terrifying. From the cliffs on which we stood to the serene peace and quiet of Shangri-La was like a descent into another world. I came to this world across the mountains from India. We'd been flying from Baskum to Peshawar on the northwest frontier. I was the British consul in Baskul, and my vice consul, a young fellow named Mallinson, was making the trip with me. Besides us, there were two other passengers and the pilot.
Conway. I say, Conway, are you asleep?
What? Oh, what's the matter, Mallinson? Anything wrong?
I'm not sure, but I think our pilot's off his course.
Nonsense.
Well, look down there. Nothing but mountains as far as you can see.
What? Well, I don't recognize this part of the world at all. I should say you were right, Mallinson. The man's lost his way.
Shall I speak to the pilot, Conway?
No, thanks. I'll do it. You there. Pilot, open the panel. Open up. I want to speak with you.
I advise that you ask no questions, please.
Oh, certainly.
Look here, we want to know where we are.
I advise that you be seated.
I will not be seated. I want to
Mallinson,
know where...
Mallinson, I don't know whether you've noticed it, but there's a revolver pointed directly at my chest. I think you'd better do as the gentleman suggests. For hours after that, we sat in the darkness, each of us pretending to sleep. And then suddenly the plane lurched sharply. There was a loud rushing sound in my ears, and I realized that we were coming down, but fast, much too fast. We stumbled from the plane, badly shaken. The cold was intense, a solid icy cold that you could touch with your fingertips. I knew that we must be somewhere in Tibet.
Conway, come here. There's something the matter with this pilot fellow.
There was little we could do for him. And as the early rays of the sun caught the summit of the mountain, the man died.
I say, Conway.
Yes?
I've just been looking at that mountain. Am I seeing things, or are those men coming toward us?
They were men. A party of a dozen or more crawling like ants across the white face of the cliff. And as they drew near, we saw they carried a hooded chair, and in it a heavily robed figure, an elderly Chinese.
I come from the Lamasery of Shangri-La. My name is Chang.
This is Miss Brinklow.
How do you do?
Mr. Barnard.
Hello.
And Mr. Mallinson. My name is Conway.
Conway, yes. Your ship is beyond repair?
Well, I'm afraid so. And anyway, our pilot is dead.
Yes. You will come to Shangri-La. It is a hazardous journey and the only place of habitation within 1,000 miles. I shall be happy to accompany you.
That's very kind, thank you.
Oh, and we'd like to hire some of your porters to help us on the journey back. We want to return to civilization as soon as possible.
Are you so certain you are away from it?
I never exactly remembered how we arrived at the Lamasery. The thin air had a dreamlike texture, and I was half conscious of a strange sensation, half mystical, half visual, of having reached at least some place that was an end, a finality. Shangri-La, I learned, was a sort of monastery. Those in full Lamahood numbered about 50, and their prevalent belief was in moderation, the virtue of avoiding excess of all kinds. These things I learned the first night as I stood with Chang on the broad balcony overlooking the valley.
There is something more you would like to know, Mr. Conway?
Please. I want to know, this morning when you found us, were you setting out on a journey?
No.
Then you came there deliberately to intercept us.
You are very clever, but I should counsel you not to worry your friends with these abstract discussions.
No, they want something more concrete.
There will be certain unavoidable delays.
How long?
The difficulties of the trip, securing the necessary porters.
How long, please?
You may tell your friends a few months.
But you don't guarantee it, is that what you mean? For myself, I can't say I shall mind a great deal. It's a new and interesting experience.
In time to come, you may find it even more interesting. Good night.
In the days that followed at Shangri-La, I gave myself over to a rich and growing enchantment. In the petal-colored buildings which dotted the mountain, I recognized priceless treasures of art. In the spacious library, I discovered the great literature of the present and of the centuries past. One morning, I stood beside a lotus pool in an open pavilion of the Lamasery. In an archway behind me, a young girl was seated at a piano, a girl in Chinese dress. She was like a delicately painted miniature. Oh, that was very lovely.
You are pleased?
More than pleased. My name is Hugh Conway.
They call me Lotsan.
Lotsan. And do you live below in the valley?
No, I live here.
What? At the Lamasery?
Yes. But as yet, I have not attained the full Lamahood.
What? You mean you are a Lama?
Yes.
Well, I'm a bit confused. I thought only men could be Lamas.
In the Lamahood, there are no distinctions between a man and a woman.
But you are hardly more than a child.
Shall I play for you again?
Yes, please.
Good morning.
What? Oh, good morning, Chang.
You are pleased with Lotsen?
Yes, she plays beautifully.
She has studied for a great many years.
What? How could she? How old is Lotsan?
I'm afraid I cannot tell you.
One night, the moonlight fell on Shangri-La, bathing the pavilion in a sea of blue.
I'm sorry to disturb you at this hour, but I bring you important news.
Yes, Chang?
I congratulate you, sir. Tonight, you are to be received by the High Lama.
I followed Chang through the Lamasery up a spiral staircase to a door which opened noiselessly before us. Chang left silently. As I became accustomed to the gloom, I saw sitting before me a small and wrinkled man, his face thin and drawn tight over the frame of his skull. And his eyes, I felt dizzy beneath the gaze of those ancient eyes.
You are Mr. Conway?
I am.
Please, sit down. I am an old man and can do no one any harm.
I feel it a great honor to be received by you.
Thank you. Chang tells me you have been asking many questions about our community and its affairs.
I'm very much interested in them.
The history of Shangri-La begins rightly in the city of Peking in the year 1719. For it was then that four friars set out on a long and perilous journey. They traveled southwest for many months, facing many hardships. Three died on the way, and the fourth was not far from death when, by accident, he stumbled into the rocky defile that remains today the only practical approach to our Valley of the Blue Moon. And there, to his joy and surprise, he found a friendly population who bade him welcome, and quickly he recovered his health. His name was Father Perrault. For more than half a century, Father Perrault labored with his hands, tilling his own garden, and learning from the inhabitants as well as teaching them. Then, in the year 1789, news descended to the valley that Father Perrault was dying at last. He lay for many weeks without speech or movement, and then he began to recover. He was then 108.
The ancient Lama paused. What he had told me held me speechless with wonder. It was 14 years later, he told me, that a wanderer found his way to Father Perrault's monastery, an Austrian named Henschel. A great friendship sprang up between the two, and Henschel stayed on. It was then that they had a wild, fantastic dream. Art treasures from Europe and Asia were purchased with the valley's gold and stored at Shangri-La. The library was filled with the great works of the world, and later it was decided to admit travelers and strangers who had lost their way.
Yes, Mr. Conway, strangers might come as freely as they wished, but with one important proviso.
And what was that?
In 1910, Henschel died. He was killed.
In 1910? But you said he came here in 1803.
Yes.
And he was killed, you said?
Yes. A traveler shot him. There had been a quarrel about some porters. Henschel had just told him of the important proviso that governs our reception of guests. Perhaps you are wondering, my dear Conway, what that proviso may be.
Well, I think I can guess already. We are to stay here all of our lives.
And can you guess anything else after this long and curious story of mine?
It seems impossible, and yet I know that it's the truth.
What is, my son?
That you are still alive, Father Perrault.
We will return to romance and our story, Lost Horizon, in just a moment. This evening on CBS Radio's thrilling Gunsmoke series, hear what trouble a mail-order bride brings to Dodge City. Also tonight, on most of these same stations, you'll want to hear Gangbusters with the remarkable true story of the close-knit family. Tonight, adventure beckons on Gunsmoke and Gangbusters at the Star's address. And now, for the second act of Lost Horizon, as we return to romance.
The High Lama who sat beside me had lived for nearly 2.5 centuries. My coming was no accident. Many Lamas had died, and the pilot had been sent out into the world to find new persons to take their place. Then there is death at Shangri-La.
Oh, yes, my son. There are many of us who live no more than 100 years.
And if one of your Lamas were to leave the Valley of the Blue Moon?
He would die. He would die very soon. An old, old man.
Lotsen.
You have seen the High Lama?
Lotsen, how did you come here?
I was betrothed to a prince of Turkestan. We were traveling to Kashgar to meet him when my carriers lost their way in the mountains.
And when did this happen?
I was 18.
18? Then now you
are... The missionaries of Shangri-La found us. They brought us here. I never saw the man I was to marry.
Then in all these years you've never known the meaning of love. One night at midnight, I was summoned to the presence of the High Lama.
Tell me, my son, have you been happy at Shangri-La?
Quite happy, Father Perrault.
And what of your friends? Will they learn to be content also?
I'm afraid Mallinson is going to be a problem.
He is going to be your problem.
What? Why mine?
Because, my son, I am going to die. That is why I sent for you tonight. My son, there is a great storm gathering in the world. A black fury which will not spend itself for many years. It may rage till every flower of culture is trampled. And all human things are leveled in vast chaos. But I believe that you will live through the storm. And I see a new world stirring in the ruins, seeking its lost and legendary treasures. And they will all be here, my son, hidden behind the mountains. In the Valley of the Blue Moon. My son, I place in your hands the heritage and destiny of Shangri-La.
The High Lama stopped speaking. The glow in his eyes faded. And presently it came to me as in a dream. The High Lama was dead.
I've been waiting for you. I say, what's the matter, Conway? Are you ill?
What? No, just tired.
Oh, well, pull yourself together, man. The porters are waiting for us.
Porters?
Yes, it's all arranged. They're going to take us back to Peshawar. Miss Brinklow and Bernard are staying.
Who's been making all these plans?
Lotsen. She's with the porters now.
No.
I'm in love with Lotsen, and she loves me.
Lotsen must not go. It's impossible.
Why?
You must take my word for it. Lotsen must never leave here.
Conway, we need your help. We can't manage the cliff without you. I want to get away from this place, and Lotsen does, too. She's young, doesn't she, Count?
Lotsen is not young.
Not young? Oh, you're raving, man.
It's the truth. Her beauty is a fragile thing that can live only where fragile things are loved. I tried then to tell him the secret of Shangri-La. He looked at me as though I were mad, and as I read the disbelief in his eyes, I began to doubt myself. And then Lotsen came to me.
You will help us, please. We need you.
Lotsen, do you wish to leave Shangri-La?
Yes.
You know, you understand the risk. If you leave this valley, you will fade away like an echo.
You've been listening to the fables of these old men. I love him. If he is not with me, I would die here.
For hours, I paced the balcony. And before me were the wistful, pleading eyes of the little Manchu girl. That morning, with the wind roaring through the jagged cliffs, we made the ascent from Shangri-La. For weeks, we traveled toward the east, Mallinson, the girl, and I. And then the porters began to desert. One by one, they disappeared. And then there were just the three of us. And for a long while, there were only two. Mallinson had died. And at first, I tried to believe it was the hardship of the journey which had changed Lutzen.
I am tired. I can go no further.
We must go on, Lutzen.
I am tired.
There. That must be the last range there, that mountain. You see, Lutzen?
It is too far. I cannot see so far.
Just one more step, Lutzen. Just one more step. And one more. And one more. One more.
No. You must go on alone from here.
Her eyes were depthless shadows, her skin drawn the color of ancient parchment, her cheekbones. Lutzen. Lutzen.
I am old. I am so old.
They found us on the road to Chungkyang, and we were taken to the hospital there. Lutzen died that same night. The oldest woman they'd ever seen. The storm of which Father Perrault warned me still rages. Not yet has the Christian ethic been fulfilled, when the meek shall inherit the earth. But Shangri-La has a heritage to cherish and bequeath with such wisdom as men will need when their passions are spent. Soon I hope I will return, somewhere beyond Lhasa, on the high roof of the world. I seem to picture a long plateau running north, and far away, a mountain rising white against the sky. I hope I find it again, for this, I think, is Karakol, and beyond is Shangri-La and the Valley of the Blue Moon.
Romance is produced and directed by Fred MacKay. Editorial supervision is by Het Mannheim. You have heard Lost Horizon by James Hilton. William Conrad was heard as Conway, Parley Bear as Father Perrault, Barbara Jean Wong as Lutzen, Howard McNear as Chang, Jack Edwards as Mallinson, and Byron Kane as the pilot. Special music was composed by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Roy Rowan speaking. This afternoon, CBS Radio has another sports exclusive, a leapfrog pickup of today's National Golf Day tourney, in which golfers all over the country are taking on Ben Hogan in one of golfdom's most unique big shows. Exclusive today on most of these same stations. Lionel Barrymore's Radio Hall of Fame is great Sunday night drama on the CBS Radio Network.